DJ Man of Adam, your hostess with the mostest, bringing you the best, for the best, by the best. I got an interesting show this time around, focusing mainly on mainstream music. Well, maybe not even mainstream music, just, you know, music that isn't for net labels, you know what I mean? Like, it's released on labels that, you know, put out mass quantities of CDs and vinyls occasionally. And a little bit of pop music thrown in there for good measure. You know, you'll hear tracks from, Michael Jackson, the Barclays, just a whole list of people that you would never find on a net label otherwise. But, yeah, what I've done is I'm trying to demonstrate the true power of low bitrate. And what you're hearing in the background right now, which isn't low bitrate at the moment, but you're going to be hearing it in a little bit. Square Pusher, Blast Out Flex Out, is the background music. I'll let you check that out for a minute. To focus on the diversity of low bitrate music, how when it's done correctly, you know, it's really powerful. A lot of people, when they try to jump into low bit producing, you know, they don't equal their sounds out very well, and what you have, or what you usually end up with, is a really bad sounding track. You know, and, you know, sometimes that's not such a bad thing. But, you know, even with low bitrate music, there's a particular way that you need to produce it to really give it that good effect. And so I wanted to demonstrate how... what's the word I'm looking for? And I hate to use this word, too, mainstream. But music that was done in a studio and EQ'd, you know, to hell, can really sound good at low bit rates. And it's not so much that the music itself gets low fidelity, which a lot of people confuse low bit rate for. That's really not the case. Low fidelity and low bitrate are, in my opinion, two way different things. And you'll find that out later on in the show. I've got an interview with Mike. At the moment, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I think it's Bork. And he is the guy over at Army of 2600, just doing phenomenal things right now, musically. I think he's got a new project called Juice Pouch. Which unfortunately I haven't caught enough of, but the little bit that I did catch was really, 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 really good. So I encourage all of you to get your keyboard fingers ready and go do some online searches for that at your earliest convenience. Yeah, I will be interviewing him later on in the show, and stick around because it's going to be very cool. Like I said, there's some mainstream music. There's some stuff in here from a group called System, and they were on the label Scape, which is now unfortunately defunct, but you know, they put out acts like Jan Jelinek, Kit Clayton, was on Scape. Some really phenomenal stuff there. Some music from a group called SND, which unfortunately was releasing a lot of their music on a label which is now also defunct, called Mill Plateau. And Yeah, I'm going to be definitely trying to entertain you as much as possible. And there may be some music that you recognize, or maybe some that you won't. But I'm going to try to keep it as entertaining as possible. All right, so like I said, this is DJ Man of Adam, your hostess with the mostest, bringing you the best, for the best, by the best, and hoping that you will enjoy this latest edition of the Tibble Lil Bit Radio Show.
I never got caught with a Gio. And if you ever do, you'll whatever be with Neo. Serving in the Cherokee and maybe it's a Gio. Like I'm like Ben, so we'll get it up for me, though. Never have to worry about my poppy getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo, TD, pop the strunk. Cause we don't go for playing when I play the rapper ball. When I'm on the mic, I ain't for playing, not at all. Cause I clock 10 G's a week, booming at my peak. Always see East Soul, but I do get geek. I can give you a job, a place to eat. Hardy, meet your homeboy, Marty at a B.O.B. Marty taking over, barking like a dog named Rover. I'm picking fingers like a four-leaf clover. Anybody wearing something, Michael Jackson Cobra? Son of these saying that greed is getting over. The arts of the double E-Z, and down with my homie G-A-S and O-P, and suckers call them fatty cause they still be disagreeing. I don't give a cause I'm from F-L-I-F-P in a city where penny runs low. If you ever shoot through my city, now you know. Cause we have city business and we also got a pride. And if you don't like it, I suggest you break wide. Suckers study looking for the ammo when he wired. Thinking that illegal is the best of solely dying. I ain't got time to see a thing thing now. To give up all his money and to give up what he got. That's the way I am, and see, we cannot be different. Never change the ways for the world or the government. If I was the president, then I would say fact. You leave it up to me, I'll paint the White House black. Messing me up my whole head, teasing me just like Chica did Martin. Now look at what you starting. Schoolboy crushing it in on the hush, the whole world see it, but you can't. My people, they complain, sit and rave and rant. Come on. Your name is out my mouth like an ancient chant. Got me like a dog as a pause and pant. Speaking of which, got a leash and a wish just to rock you, miss. Make a militant move, beat my strategy. What? End of the day, you're not mad at me. Not dealing with nobody, now that's what you told me. What? I said, hey, yo, it's cool, we can just be friendly. Cause yo, picture me messing it up. Her mind not corrupt with the LC cup. Huh? Shit. I'm on my J.O. Bullshit and hoping that the day goes slow. What? Got me like a friend, what confuses me though? It's just as when we breathe, tell me what's the deal, yo. Now you caught my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheek, moved in, you confused things. Should I just sit out or come harder? Help me find my way. Now you caught my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheek, moved in, you confused things. Should I just sit out or come harder? Help me find my way. Now why you wanna go and do that, love, huh? Making things for me towards you harder. Chilling me just when I think we there. You got the whole vibe and the folks in the air. Telling me about next man, but next man ain't the nigga with the plan. Who got your heart in mind? It's about time that you just don't want. And then it just happened, make it front free. Just sweat me like money panty. Digging you, getting inside of your seat. What? It's the quest cat keeping you company. Forever or however you want it. Word, word. Now wait a minute, my, before you dead it to the curb. Trying to make impressions with the good, not the hurt. But it ain't me, and I ain't blurred. I'ma still just chill with you. Maybe they could change, they could change it too.
Thank you. Mostly, they are not working-class people. They are people who dropped out of college because they thought it was stupid. And they're that sort of people. We would call them perhaps beatniks. But you see, the city doesn't like it because they aren't owning the right sort of cars, and therefore the local car salesman isn't doing business through them. They don't have lawns, and so nobody can sell them lawnmowers. They hardly use dishwashers, appliances of that kind. They don't need them. And also they wear blue jeans and things like that, and so the local dress shops feel a bit put out having these people around. And they have they live very simply. Well, you mustn't do that. You've got to live in a complicated way. You've got to have the kind of car, you know, that identifies you as a person of substance and status and all that. So there's a great problem here in our society. Now, why is there this problem? There's always a very inconsiderable minority of these non-joiners or people who check out of the game. But you will find that insecure societies are the most intolerant of those who are non-joiners. They are so unsure of the validity of their game rules that they say everyone must play. Now that's a double bind. You can't say to a person, you must play, because what you're saying is, you are required to do something which will be acceptable only if you do it voluntarily. You see? So everyone must play is the rule in the United States. And it's the rule in almost all Republican governments. I mean Republican in the sense of democratic. Because they're very uneasy. Because everybody is responsible. You mean you may try not to be and avoid it and say, oh, let the senators take care of it or the president. But theoretically, everyone's responsible. Now, that's terrifying. See, it's all right when you know what's right. There is an aristocracy, there is the clergy, and they know what should be done, and they're used to ruling, you see. But now it's in your hands. You say, well, what are we going to do? Well, I think this way, and you think that way, and he thinks the other way. And so we're all unsettled. And therefore, we become more and more conformist. Individualism, rugged individualism, always leads to conformism. Because people get scared. And so they herd together, and it compounded with industrial society, mass production, etc. They all wear the same clothes, and they're sensible clothes that don't show the dirt too much. And we get duller and drabber, and with the exception of the Californian Revolution. So, the reason for this is, in a way, that democracy as we have tried it started out on the wrong foot. You see, in the scriptures, in the Christian scriptures, it says everybody is equal in the sight of God. Now that's a mystical utterance. That means that from the standpoint of God, all people are divine and are playing their true function. And that is something that is true on a certain plane of consciousness. But come down a step and try to apply the mystical insight in the practical affairs of everyday life, and what do you get? You get a parody of mysticism. You get the idea not that everybody is equal in the sight of God, but that all people are equally inferior. And that's why all bureaucracies are rude, why the police are rude, and why you are made to wait in lines and are obstreperous income tax individuals and all that sort of person. Because everybody's a crook. Everybody's equally inferior. See, that becomes the parody of democracy. And that kind of society, watch out for it. It turns in a quick click into fascism because of its terror of the outsider. Now, a free and easy society loves outsiders. In fact, it's a little bad for the outsider's integrity because he becomes the holy man, see? And people make salams and give him food and all that. They really take care of the outsider because they know that man is doing for us what we haven't got the guts to do. That outsider who lives up there in the mountain is at the highest peak of human evolution. His consciousness is one with the divine. And great, just there is someone like that around. It makes you feel a little better. He is realized. He knows what it's all about. And so we need a number of those people. Even though they don't join our game, they tell us, you see, what you're doing is only a game. It's okay, I'm not going to condemn you, but it is only a game, and we up on that mountaintop are watching you. We love you, we have compassion for you, and, but excuse please, we aren't going to join. So that gives the community great strength, because it tells the government, in no uncertain terms, that there's something more than government.
5-0.
Man, I ain't no motherfucking cop.
Well, hit this motherfucker then.
Tonight's the night I get in some shit.
Yeah.
Deep cover on the incognito tip. Killing motherfuckers if I have to. Filling gaps too. Let your niggas know I'm coming at you. I guess that's part of the game. But I feel for the nigga who think he just gonna come and change things with the swiftness. So get it right with the quickness and let me handle my business. Yo, I'm on a mission and my mission won't stop until I get the nigga maxing at the top.
I hope you get his ass before he drop.
Kingpin kicking back while his workers lay his rocks. Coming up like a fat rat. Big money, big cars, big bodyguards on his back. So it's difficult to get him.
But I got the hooker with somebody who knows how to get in contact with him.
Hit him like this and like that. Let him know that I'm looking for a big fat dope sack. What is the spin, so let's crush it. If you wanna handle it tonight, we'll discuss it. On a nigga's time and a nigga's place. Take my strap just in case one of his boys recognize my face. Cause he's a shiesty motherfucker. But I give some fuck, cause I'm going deep cover. Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on an undercover car.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on an undercover car. Creep with me as I crawl through the hood. Maniac lunatic calling Snoop Eastwood. Kicking dust as I bust fuck piece. And the motherfucking fuck police. You already know I give a fuck about a cop. So why in the fuck would you think that it would stop? Plot, yeah, that's what we's about to do. Take your ass on a mission with the boys in blue. Dre,
what up, Snoop?
Yo, I got the feeling tonight's the night like Betty Wright. And I'm chilling, killing, feeling no remorse, yeah. So let's go straight to the motherfucking source and see what we can find. Crooked ass cop that be getting niggas a gang of time. And now they wanna make a deal with me. Scoop me up and put me on their team and chill with me. And make my pockets bigger. They wanna meet with me tonight at 7 o'clock.
So what's up, nigga?
What you wanna do?
What you wanna do?
I got the gauge of Uzi in my motherfucking 22. So if you wanna blast, nigga, we can buck 'em. If we stick 'em, then we stuck 'em. So fuck.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on an undercover car.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on an undercover car. 6:05 was the time on the clock when me and my homie bailed in the parking lot. The scene looked strange and it felt like a setup.
Better not be, cause if it is, they get better.
Oh, here they come from the back and they lax. I'm checking for the gas, they strap. So what's up, Black?
Chill, let's hit a deal. If it ain't up to what you feel, then grab your steel.
Right, so, what you motherfuckers gon' come at me with? Hope you ain't wantin' none of my group, cause you can say that shit.
Guess what they told me?
We give you 20 G's if you snitch on your homie. We'll put you in a home and make your life plush. Oh yeah, but you gotta sell dope for us. Let me think about it. Turn my back and grab my gat and guess what I told you before I shot it. If you don't quit, yeah. If you don't stop, yeah, I'm letting my gat pop. Cause it's
187 on an undercover car.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on an undercover car.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on an undercover car.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on an undercover car.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on an undercover car.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on an undercover car.
Yeah, if you don't stop.
This is DJ Madam Adam, your hostess with the mostest, bringing you the best, for the best, by the best on the Tibble and Little Bit radio show. And starting off the interview session here, we've got Mike, how do you pronounce it? Bork? Berk? Berk? Okay. Let's see, Mike, would you like to say hello?
Hey, what's up? It's General Mike.
Would you like to, basically I'd like to know, like, before we get too into that, like, how you got started making music, like, what made you decide to actually sit down and start writing music one day?
Well, like, 2006, I got the urge to start writing kind of trippy music. I couldn't play guitars or drums or anything, and Omaha scene is pretty much, you know, some sort of, guitar-based or drum-based music, so I started messing around with keyboards and samplers a bunch, called Dark Cloud Nebula back in 2006. Did a couple albums of that, and it was basically just a bunch of samplers and recorded on acid music and then mixed down. So I didn't get involved with the Atari stuff until 2008. Before that, I was doing projects like Human Vengeance, Armada, and of course, Xena Cats, and it went with for a while there.
Right, yeah.
That's where I kind of started working on, you know, what sound I was kind of going for, kind of the lo-fi, kind of real distorted, kind of cosmic sound.
Okay. Yeah, thinking back, I think you debuted on Prac as Xenocats, if I remember correctly. Okay.
In the summer of 2008, you're like, hey, you want to release it? And you're the first guy that ever, like, showed any interest in my music. So to this day, I always have rock records close to my musical heart.
Aw. Well, yeah, you've definitely got your own unique sound, man. It's hard to compare you to anybody else that I've heard. So.
Yeah, I tried to find my own little niche because there's a lot of good artists today. So.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, trust me, you're definitely up there. What are some of your, not just Netlabel, but what are some of your other favorite? I don't want to say mainstream labels, but like labels that don't necessarily release music online.
Well, there's a Texas label called Shitty, Sinkhole Texas Inc., and I like them because they release a lot of diverse projects. They released like an experimental album in 2009, and they'll do a lot of punk and a straight up rock album.
Alright, cool. I know you mentioned you've been in Omaha for. Did you grow up in Omaha?
Yeah, born and raised here in Omaha, middle of flyover country.
Yeah, what's the scene like out there, like as far as electronic music goes?
Not much at all. You know, I spent like 4 years playing live shows here just to build like even a tiny fan base.
Yeah.
You know, and the scene is mostly indie rock, blues, you know, less folk.
Yeah.
So to get a show, you know, I'm put like before or after an indie folk singer or something. So it's taking a lot of effort to get any sort of traction here. But now I'm kind of, I'm kind of known as the Atari dude. So
yeah.
That's why that guy, he's the one that when lineups are looking for something different, I usually get a call for a benefit show or music festival.
Mm-hmm.
There's always, whether you like it or hate it, there's always a that was weird factor, I gotta see what he's doing. Is that Atari up there? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. Yeah, like I said, you're so original, man. Like, I don't see too many of... And I don't want to say you're an 8-bit artist either, but I mean, I don't see too many people doing what you do. Yeah, like, even out here, it's hard to find. You know, you've definitely carved your own path as far as that goes.
My goal was to mix kind of the 8-bit video vibe, the game positive vibe, mm-hmm. with kind of the cosmic noise. You know, I was trying to combine a beat with noise and kind of blend the two together.
Yeah.
Just when you get tired of one, then it kind of switches, and you're like, oh, this is out of left field.
Yeah. Yeah, man, for sure. What are some of your influences? Like, what were some bands or groups that you listened to growing up that kind of got you into the whole making music thing?
No one I really grew up with. I grew up with Devo, was always one of my favorite bands, so it's kind of ironic now. To this day, they're still really good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really start getting into more experimental until 2006. One of the artists that really influenced me was Red SK. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was the one that first kind of showed me that noise in itself could be an art.
Yeah.
And when I first turned on to it, I was like, well, what is this? It's just, it's just noise and hisses and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of learned to appreciate and dissect it and find the art within that it's not the noise that is the music, but it's kind of like the silence of the space between
Yeah, dude, exactly. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of meeting Patrick on a couple of occasions, and, I mean, he's another one of those guys that's, like, really, truly dedicated to what he does. And
I mean, he's one of the guys that everybody seems to kind of mention.
Yeah.
Dave from Endometrium Profile, I was fortunate enough to hook him up with his first live show.
Really?
He was going to college here in Nebraska, and we made the connection through a nerd. And he's like, hey, I'm looking to get
some music on Proc, which is, I'd consider it a little bit. It's in WMV format, but, like, do you have a, like, what's your opinion of a little bit, and, do you have a preference, like, do you prefer MP3 or OGG or WMV? Do you prefer to do higher bitrate music in lower fidelity, or do you prefer a lower bitrate?
Well, I like it to sound, you know, I've recorded albums where I try to do it in real low bit, and it comes out with that squiggly internet sound.
Yeah.
And I prefer to make it sound crappy on my own. So I like to record it in a nice recording, but I prefer to add the hissing and all that stuff. But I want the bad seven to sound good.
Yeah. That's an interesting perspective, yeah.
I think the basic one I run is just 128 bits.
Okay.
And sometimes, you know, a net label for a compilation will say they wanted it this certain one. It's no big deal just to open it up and then resave it as that.
Right.
That file.
Like, what kind of environment do you make your music in? Are you in, like, a dark, secluded room with all the windows shut, or are you in, like, a pretty wide-open, comfortable place?
Well, originally it started out as kind of a dark setting. Alpo Z was the studio I started in.
Okay.
And recently I took a bigger gig, like a much wide open space.
Yeah.
But usually I like to record with the lights kind of down low, and, you know, put on some some external lights or, you know, the glitching from the TV, the Atari, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of gets you in the mood, but basically if I come up with an idea or, you know, or a sound that I want to try, it can be with, you know, in broad daylight with the lights on.
Yeah.
Just depends on when the inspiration hits and what sounds good.
Exactly, yeah. And, where do you get your inspiration from? Assuming you work a full-time job, so, like, do you find you have more time, like, on the weekends or in the evenings, or, like, how's that work? Like,
Yeah, you know, it's whenever. You know, sometimes I've been sitting around before work, and I'll get an idea, and I'll say, I want to play this Atari game and get the track for it.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes it's late at night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really restrict myself. Kind of like a writer will, like, take the same block of time every day to write.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really do that. It's more of a hobby. And if I make it too routine, then it becomes like a job. And the goal of this project was to always have fun with it. So just whenever the inspiration hits.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. That is just awesome. I noticed you started doing the juice box or the juice pouch project, and I haven't exactly had a chance to listen to it in depth. The little bit that I've caught, I did like a lot, actually. But what are your plans for that?
That's just a little fun thing that my manager, Miss Amazing, and I have going on.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted a project that had nothing to do with the Atari, since, you know, Army 2600 had its little niche. Sometimes I like to have little side projects here and there to keep the ideas fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got the Cosmic Intergalactic Wizard project with I Make Babies Cry.
Yeah.
And recently, Miss Amazing and I formed Juice Pouch, which doesn't use any Atari, and it kind of goes out of its way to be kind of the more loud, obnoxious sound.
Yeah.
Kind of pointless noise for noise's sake.
Yeah.
It's a way for us to have fun.
Yeah, noise. Noise is very therapeutic. It's a lot of fun to make sometimes.
Well, and the best part is you don't have to. You know, you don't have to read sheet music. You don't have to know how to play a, you know, guitar. You know, you're turning knobs and you're creating an atmosphere as opposed to mimicking what somebody else has already written.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, you know, like you mentioned earlier, Patrick Doyle. Red SK, he's an excellent example of that. Somebody.
No genre, no boundaries, no rules.
Yeah.
That was the first time that I was like, wow, you know, this is something that is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, is a lot of your music recorded live, or is it edited at all? Or?
It varies. In the old, a couple of years ago, it would be more of these inspirational, you know, you record once live, and there it is, you know, flaws and all. But lately I've gotten more work for bits and pieces here, and then I think, you know, what can I add to this? I'll come up with an idea or a sample to use for this part.
Right.
And the songs kind of come together individually.
Okay. you able to catch the Mo Bith show at all?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Were you able to catch that that low bit rate show, which evidently took place in Amsterdam, that Mo Bith show?
I was not.
Yeah, it was, I know Kai Naboku really hyped it up quite a bit, that low bit rate show. And there's evidently a town called Mo Bith where he was really trying to push people to make a recording, and then they would perform it live on the some radio station out in Oregon. I don't know if you'd heard about that or not.
No, I don't know.
Oh. I mean, outside of doing music, is there anything that you really enjoy doing?
Just enjoying life. You know, every day above ground is a good day.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll play some video games. Sometimes I'll wrestle with the kids. Sometimes making sweet, sweet love to the one you love. Moderation is the key. I like to enjoy a little bit of everything, not too much of anything.
Yeah, that's... See, my next question for you was words of wisdom to the seasoned and new producers, but I think you kind of summed it up right there.
Yeah, just do what you want to do. Don't try to conform, because eventually people will see your way. I played shows to where the only people were, the other bands. Mm-hmm. And I was still up there giving it 100%. I played shows where, 99 out of 100 people couldn't stand me. But you see that one person come up after you and say, "Wow, man, I really like what you're doing." And it's like, you know what? That's totally worth it.
Yep. Absolutely, man. That's a good feeling. So, I guess my last couple of questions for you were, do you have any people you'd like to give a shout out to, and is there any material that we should be watching out for?
I'd like to give a shout out to the guys down in Texas, here at Whole Texas Inc., Atari Matt and Kelly Menace, who is the Great Unwashed Luminaries. I've worked with them throughout the years, released a couple albums. I have a new one out, a split with Great Unwashed Luminaries.
Okay.
He's one of my favorite artists as far as, just independent guys. And Atari Matt, he was one of my big influences on, using the Atari on stage. So I'd like to give a shout out to them. And my intergalactic wizard buddy, I make babies cry, the absent-minded professor. I'd like to give a shout out to Cuba 2 Asparagus Michael Scott at Beauty Tomorrow.
Okay.
Shout out to you, Adam.
Oh.
Keeping things alive. Keeping things alive. I saw you guys had like a big get together not too long ago.
Yeah, actually, Patrick Doyle was here.
Yeah, I saw that. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like a summit of the noise artists.
Yeah, fortunately, we didn't have the police called on us, because for a while there we were getting kind of loud and obnoxious, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good time. There was a couple of local people that showed up. My good buddy Richard, he came, and my buddy Joe, who are both, producers too. They don't do a lot of little bit stuff, but they do, their own crazy stuff. And I mean, it was just a good time. We had a lot of people, a good turnout, and just got drunk and played music.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it. I was like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I wish there was something like that near here, around here.
Well, I mean, if you're ever out near the Toledo area, feel free to stop into my basement.
Definitely.
Now, is there anything that you're doing that we should be keeping an eye out for?
Not really. Like I said, I have a new split release that just came out on CD.
Okay.
And I have a new, at the beginning of the year, I had my first, full big CD released on Mindflare Media. And that was kind of like my crowning achievement to this point. So it's been kind of a good year. Just been writing songs or, recording songs. And playing the occasional live show, trying to keep fresh and just making noise.
Awesome, dude. Awesome. All right, well, Mike, thank you very much for this interview. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I don't know, man. I wish you all the best. I mean, you're an awesome guy. You're doing amazing stuff. And I love you all to hell.
Hey, well, I appreciate the support. I always try to release on frog like once a year.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I'm always here for you.
All right, well, thank you very much.
So, all right, Mike, thank you very much. And this has been another episode of the Tibble and Little Bit Radio Show. Mike, say goodbye.
Goodbye now.